Next, we come to equipment simulators. Equipment simulators. Using an equipment, we simulate the conditions. Equipment simulators are employed when a certain device or an equipment is very critical in its operation and needs a thorough training, trained person to handle it. There can't be any chances for accidents or mistakes. Such equipment could be very expensive and if mishandled could result in a huge loss. For example, an aircraft. You must have heard about an aircraft simulator. In equipment simulation, the trainee is made to undergo every identical condition of the real equipment, but with the working model of the real equipment. Not with the real equipment, but with the working model, right? For example, in the airline industry, as I mentioned earlier, we have flight simulator, which is a true working model of all aspects of a real aircraft. The trainee pilot is made to sit in the cockpit of the flight simulator, and all the conditions of flying, like takeoff, gaining altitude, cruising, handling air turbulence, losing altitude, landing safely, and many such actions are performed. So he gets a hang of what it means by flying. And there's an instructor, there's an evaluator who corrects him and tells him, this is what you're not supposed to do, this is what you're supposed to do. The results are recorded and debriefed with feedback and scope for alterations. This comes under the socio-technical approach of organization training. Socio-technical. What is socio-technical? Socio is involving society, the lives of many people to whom you are accountable when you operate that particular machine. Technical means the technical approach to doing the systematic approach of handling that equipment. You are sitting in the cockpit. The control systems in the cockpit is a technical part of it. Socio part of it is how do you use those contraptions, those control systems, so that it is taking the people with you into safety and safe flights. Okay, equipment simulator trainings are done for air traffic controllers, ship navigators, airline pilots, soldiers in the army, armed forces handling vital war equipment. Now we come to case studies. Very common. Any B school will talk about a case study. Case study facilitates the participants to simulate problem solving and decision making skills that are required at the workplace. A certain case paper is offered in a written form. It will be something that has happened in industry. They may remove the names, they may put anonymity to the whole thing. And the case is given to you. The case paper is offered in a written form comprising a narration of a near real situation or even a real situation that has happened in the past with little changes on which the participant and the group are made to deliberate through discussions and brainstorming. Right? The case paper may have questions at the end, more as trigger questions to stimulate the brain into decision making process. Either small groups or individuals are made to voice their views and opinions and assumptions of the case and the solution. There is nothing like a correct answer for these case studies. Remember that. Okay? A case study may not have a correct answer, but the approach about how you're handling the case is where the whole thing lies, the process of your of each of you or the group. Right? A wide variety of suggestions, assumptions, and solutions emerge as a consequence. We must remember that case study is not a content-driven problem solving. I don't want to know how to repair the broken bridge, but I want to know how will you go about doing it. The how will you go about giving solutions? That is more important. It is not to solve a certain problem, but to know how to solve the problem of a similar nature. Case study methods enable the participants to build decision-making skills, developing knowledge, skills, and attitudes, developing a procedural and strategic knowledge. Now we come to behavioral modeling or behavior modeling. Behavior modeling uses the human quality of people observing others to discover how to do something new. If I want to know how to operate this particular camera which is shooting me with the video camera, then I need to understand the behavior of the person sitting behind the screen, behind the camera. So if I observe him, I'll get some idea about how to do it when I'm handling the camera. This is like observing and learning. In this method, a process or a behavior is watched as a video or maybe live, and the trainees watch the behavior through the role plays to observe what the character is doing or not doing. The trainees are made to watch with a free mind, and at the end of the video, debriefing or a discussion takes place to capture the learnings and the take home. Most importantly, the participants need to derive how to draw the behavior from the video and convert it into one's behavior to achieve that goal. It's like learning by looking at him, you know, in acting, for example, if you want to be an actor, you see somebody doing a particular type of a scene and you go and enact the scene. That's how the directors direct their the actors, right? Or if you want to dance, a choreographer will come and dance and they'll show you the steps. So you do the same behavioral model and you're modeling and you dance. The model refers to the role model, someone who inspires and whom one would like to follow in terms of behavior, actions and results. Behavioral modeling is largely used wherever there is a need for developing behavioral and interpersonal skills, like in sales training, interviewing safety training, etc. Now we come to Management Development Program, MDP. Management Development Program is the most popular form of training in today's competitive environment. It involves aligning the management development with tactical planning and action, making the organization more competitive than others. It involves aligning the management development, the development of the management of the whole organization with tactical planning. Tactical means situational. I need to give some situational inputs, planning and action so that the organization goes ahead than the competitors. MDP involves two types of training inputs. One, classroom structured inputs. Second is scenarios and cases. So it's a combination of theory and also practices from real life. The syllabus is not like a totally like a academic syllabus, but the syllabus is a basis which is guiding the participants towards understanding the scenarios and the cases. So combination of both. MDP involves two types of training inputs: classroom structured inputs, scenarios and cases that needs to be connected with the structural inputs. MDP connects theory and practice in a judicious mix. MDP brings about an overall change in the outlook of the operation people into the broader perspectives of the organization working. Thus, operation people are truly in the position to handle senior responsibilities on promotions. MDP is divided into two parts. On-the-job training, OJT they call it. So OJT is done on an ad hoc basis. That means as and when we need it. Not with much of preparation. Suddenly I feel that this person has got a potential, he's got skills in him. And I would like to see that he handles a senior position for which he does not have a skill right now, functional. He's got a potential to become a manager. Right now he's holding a supervisory role. He's got all the skills. To pull it out, I may do an OJT. It's administered for building up an already existing domain where new versions come up. He's already a networking person, but he needs to network at a higher level. The participant observes an experienced colleague at work who provides him instructions and directions till the trainee absorbs and is confident of taking over independently. Coaching. It's one of the training methods which is considered as a corrective method for inadequate performance. Coaches are experts in their own field, and most of them are outside consultants. Coaching implies one-on-one interaction with feedback and focusing on areas of improvement. The procedure employed involves understanding the participant's job, knowledge, skills, attitudes, and resources required to meet the desired expectation. The procedure employed involves understanding the participant's job, skills, and attitudes, KSA, and resources required to meet the desired expectations. The coach has to know this. Meet the participant and mutually agree on objective that has to be achieved. There is a mutual agreement that the person who's getting coached is going to be following the instructions and the suggestions by the coach. They mutually arrive at a plan and a schedule of execution. At the job, show the participant how to achieve the objectives, observe the performance and provide feedback. Repeat steps until performance improves. It's a cyclical thing till the behavior changes into a irreversible behavior. For the middle level managers, coaching is usually done by a senior or could be a combination of senior and an outside consultant. I do coaching for quite a few corporate people, and this is the type of model which we follow. It could be independent coaching also, need not have a senior manager involved in it. Now we come to mentoring. It's an ongoing relationship that is developed between senior and junior employee. Mentoring provides guidance, underline the word guidance. A mentor doesn't tell you must do it this way or that way. He guides you using your own resources, your own skills and competencies. Mentoring provides guidance and clear understanding of how the employee needs to fulfill his goals and targets. Sometimes people want to achieve a goal and they are faltering, they are going in a different direction. The mentor, being a person who is experienced, he tells him, try this direction. He suggests, he doesn't advise. The mentoring meetings are not as structured or regular as in coaching. There are a lot of open-ended questions, a lot of feedbacks, a lot of bouncing back. Things are done that way. It's more of an informal interaction with a lot of trust between the two of them. Executive mentoring is done from within the organization, in most cases by a senior from a job, from a different job function. Mentoring is more personal. It is not about the type of job you. So somebody who's outside, with whom you're comfortable, you choose him as a mentor. In many companies, the executive can choose a mentor from any department. And that mentor is not a person who will make you feel good. He's a person who will bring out the best in you. So he may have his methods. Accept it with maturity. The role of the mentor is not only to guide and not teach. He's not supposed to teach. He only guides you. He shows you the processes. It focuses on attitude development, introspection, looking within, and seeking new paths of action. Now we come to job rotation. Job rotation involves providing the employee opportunities to broaden the horizons of knowledge, skills, and abilities by working in different departments, business units, functions, and countries. It facilitates the employee to be multifaceted and multi-skilled. Job rotation helps an employee handle senior functions in the long run. Since job rotation involves diverse roles to be adopted, behavioral adaptations are also faster and effective. We have already learned it in HR, so you know it. Now we come to job instruction technique, JIT. Don't mistake this with just in time, which is a Japanese form of management. JIT, or job instruction technique, uses a strategy with focus on knowledge, factual and procedural steps, on knowledge, skills and attitudes development. Suppose I want you to do a frontline sales job, going to the marketplace and meeting people. Then I put you into a JIT with a strategy that within the next 2 months you'll be able to achieve this type of results. So there I need to put you into a very specific knowledge, skills and attitudes development on a very, very on the job, and showing you how it is to be done, right? It consists of 4 steps. Plan, written breakup of tasks that constitute the job is given. Documentation, the trainee knows the training should focus on. So this salesman, I'll give a plan. This is what you're supposed to do. Very clearly put in, you have to only follow that. Present, trainer provides a synopsis of the job, that after which the trainee demonstrates how to do the job and why done in that specific manner. Okay, plan and present, followed by trial and follow. Trainee tries to perform the work and the trainer is able to provide instant feedback, the focus being improvement of method of instructions. Then comes follow. Trainer checks the trainee's job frequently after the training program is over to prevent and correct bad work habits or change the way he is doing things. Off the job training. This is done by isolating the employees from his routine and subjecting to certain trainings. So he is outside the office premises, out of the workplace, and some of the popular methods are sensitivity training. It's about making people understand about themselves and others reasonably. Sensitivity. When you're in the workplace and you're doing your routine job, you tend to lose sensitivity with yourself and others. I've got a student of mine. He's working in the IT field. He is so much absorbed in the job. He's not sensitive to the fact that he's hungry during lunchtime. He forgets. It can be that level of insensitivity some people can go through, unfortunately. he loses sensitivity that other people are there in the room, and you know it happens to many people. Now sensitivity is about getting in touch with yourself and others in a social milieu. This is done by developing them into social sensitivity and behavioral flexibility. You may be so much caught up with your own thinking and your own task that you're doing that you may lose touch with others' sensitivity, that they also are contributing to the company. So there may be clashes. Your behavior may become very rigid based on what you think is correct. So in sensitivity training, we try to make you flexible and also be sensitive to others' needs, requirements, and working as a team. Social sensitivity, in one word, is empathy. Putting yourself in the shoes of the other person. It is the ability of an individual to sense what others feel and think from their own point of view. While behavioral flexibility is the ability to behave suitably in the light of understanding. Understand people and learn to behave in a manner in which it synergizes, it adds up, it doesn't create conflict. Sensibility training comprises three stages: unfreezing old values, developing new values, and refreezing new values. It's a typical change process model which we talk about here, right? Now we come to a type of training called transaction analysis, a very popular training, okay, created by Dr. Thomas Harris and Eric Byrne, two of them. They are the popularized it. They have written books on this. I'm a trainer in TA, okay. This system addresses how the various mental states of people affect their interactions and the results during the day-to-day transactions. In a TA, the popular jargon or the popular terms we use is parent state, adult state, and child state. So in each of us, these three psychological states are existing from the time we are born till we go to the grave. Parent state is also called the taught, TAUGHT, or the recorded state of mental programs through the growing years of from childhood. This is the taught information that goes into you. Parents tell you many things, teachers tell you many things, elders tell you many things. So there is a input coming to you, and it's called as parenting because it's identified with the parents. It need not be only organic parents. Anybody can give you a parent state. An instruction coming from your child to you not to go out because there is rains and all that is a parenting. At that point of time, your own child is in a parenting state with respect to you. So when a parent is talking, who responds? Who is expected to respond? A child. So the third state, child state, comes in you. Then you'll tell your child, okay, my dear, I'll not go in the rain. So you're responding. And he or she, the child, is parenting you and you are responding as a child. The child state is a felt state or the emotional state of the mental programs, acquired and stored during the inner world emotions. You love your child and you know the child is caring for you, so you respond as a child state. Now comes the adult state, the one in the middle. It's based on thoughts, experiences, it's on logic. So you can tell your child, look, my dear so-and-so, I know it's raining, but I have to go to the office, I have to work. If I don't work, I will not get money. You're using logic to address a parent state. This can create a type of misunderstanding and conflict. What we call as a cross transaction. Okay? I'm not getting the details of it, but suffice it to say, within you, you must learn to identify when you're talking, are you coming from the parent state? Are you coming from the adult state? Or are you coming from the child state? When you're talking to somebody, you must also have the skills to calibrate whether that person is responding with a parent state or an adult state or a child state. And based on that, understanding the whole body of learning of transaction analysis, you'll come to know how to transact with them so that the purpose for which you're interacting is harmoniously and effectively handled. Harmonious is about keeping our relationships intact. Effectively means the goal that for which we both have come together should also be fulfilled. Right? Transaction analysis is a very deep study and practice of how as individuals we acquire, collect, and run our lives based on mental programs that make us do what we do, say what we say, and think what we think. Once a participant is exposed to a detailed training in TA, he or she would be in a position to use an appropriate psychological state. You can actually switch over, like you're switching gears in a car. Parent state, adult state, child state, to address the situation effectively. Right? Now I come to NLP, my area of specialization, neuro-linguistic programming, another tool which we use in to bring about changes in people. NLP is a very powerful advanced communication tool to enable one to understand his or her own deep thinking processes and also others. In the recent years, NLP has gained an important status in corporate training. I do them for many corporates as a tool in addressing many an issue. As the name indicates, neuro stands for brain patterns. Linguistic is language patterns, not only what I speak, but also my body language and various other language which you are capturing. Programming stands for the systematic alignment of the neuro and the linguistic. Both of them are aligned together. In most cases, both are having a disconnect, a parallax error. NLP trains the individual on two fronts, sensory and body awareness, understanding how the five sensory organs are working. Why the sensory organs? Because these five sensory organs are the input channels to your thoughts, the way you look at the world. So those have to be understood and they need to be properly calibrated and corrected when it is not working properly. It's a deep science. And also body awareness, how much you're aware of your body. It sounds very childish, but many people are not aware about their body functions. This is one of the inputs that enables you to unfold yourself into effectiveness. The second is language patterns. Whatever you perceive through the five sensory organs, it goes into your brain, it becomes a pattern. That pattern, you give it a language internally first. You give it a name, you give it a language. That language may be articulated outside in the same form or in a different form. So how this is connected? Conversely, whatever you're languaging is also goes back to your mental maps, and these two are interconnected. How these two are interplaying your life in your life is what this training is all about, right? NLP is based on the fact that we capture information and store them as mental programs subconsciously. These run our conscious processes without our own knowledge. Many things that you're learning, practically everything that you learn and you run in your conscious state is because of your subconscious programming. The trainee learns how to grow in sensitivity towards himself and others, and also to learn to understand how different people operate from different mental programs. In and through the various techniques and approaches that are taught in the NLP training, the trainee picks up NLP-based behavior gradually. NLP has proven to be highly effective in practically every challenging scenario related to human resources issues in the organization. Finally, we come to the author's perspective, what I have to say about this particular module. This chapter has broadly covered certain conventional methods of training employed by most organizations, be it on the job or off the job. From a practicing trainer's perspective, the method of training is customized, underline the word customized, by creating a combination of various methods with which the trainer is an expert. What is not my area of expertise, I must have the wisdom to not jump into it. I can collaborate with another trainer who's an expert in that. Both of us can do it together. If only that trainer is required, let him or her do it. This openness one should have. It's not about grabbing a business just because it's coming. You have to look at the organization and your own credibility. If you grab a business for the sake of it and do it, saying that I know it when you do not know it, then it becomes that your credibility is put to test and you'll make a very bad practice, a bad image for yourself, a bad track record. As businesses are progressing globally, training methods are evolving to suit the ongoing IT-centric business environment. Today, practically every training has got an IT centricity. So somewhere IT is involved. Maybe not during the training, physically in the training room, but later on, you know, when you're doing follow-up and other things, that type of a thing is very, very common. We are using it. Only online doesn't work in behavioral training. It may work in other types of training. As a consequence, some of the traditional conventional methods of training have become redundant in the present context. I, as a trainer, has evolved from what I used to do 20 years back, 20, 25 years back, to what I'm doing today. So if I didn't what I did that day, I wouldn't be still surviving and flourishing. Suffice it to say that methods of training need to be flexible with moving times to produce expected effectiveness. of course, keeping in mind the basics of training approaches intact. With this, my dear friends, I end this module. Thank you very much. Good luck.